Right. Hey, everyone. Are you ready to like really dive deep into a story that might turn everything you thought you knew about being, you know, a good person totally upside down?
I'm excited.
We're tackling the parable of the Good Samaritan today, but not just like the surface level stuff.
Yeah. Right?
We're gonna go deeper, like way deeper, using this lecture that takes this familiar story and reveals some pretty amazing hidden depths to it.
Yeah, you know, it's really amazing how much richer this parable becomes when you really start to understand the historical and the cultural context. You know, it's like seeing a whole new dimension to a painting you thought you knew.
Okay, so we're working with a lecture here on the Gospel of Luke, specifically Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 42. And right away, like right off the bat, the scene is set with this lawyer who's trying to trap Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
With this seemingly simple question about eternal life.
Yeah, and you know, it's important to understand that these public challenges were super common back then. It was a way to test someone's knowledge and their authority. You know, so this lawyer probably thought he had Jesus totally cornered.
Oh, I bet he did.
Yeah.
So the lawyer asks, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?"
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just giving, you know, a straight answer, Jesus just turns the question right back on. It's like classic Jesus, right?
Oh, totally. Yeah. He asks, what is written in the law? How do you read it? Mm-hmm. It's essentially like, you know, you tell me, expert.
So the lawyer, wanting to, you know, show off his knowledge a little bit, quotes back the heart of the law.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
And Jesus, you know, acknowledges that he's right. He just says, you have answered correctly, do this, and you will live.
Okay, so that seems simple enough, right? Love God, love your neighbor. But, like, of course, it's never that easy, is it?
The lawyer, wanting to, I don't know, like, justify himself, maybe even weasel out of this a little bit, throws out another question. He says, and who is my neighbor?
And that, my friend, is the setup for one of the most powerful and challenging parables that Jesus ever told.
Hit me with it.
Okay. All right. Picture this. Okay. A man is traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, which is a road that was known for, you know, for bandits and danger, right? He gets attacked, robbed, beaten, and left for dead. It's already a pretty grim picture.
Yeah. Definitely not a trip you'd want to take alone.
Oh, absolutely not. So along comes a priest. And you'd think, okay, here's the hero of the story, right? This is a religious leader, a man of God. He'll surely help.
Right. That's what we would expect, right?
Except he doesn't. He sees the man and just keeps walking on the other side of the road. And then a Levite comes along, someone who would assisted the priests in the temple, you know, same thing, walks right on by.
Now, wait, hold on. I've always wondered about this part. Were they just heartless?
Yeah.
Or was there something else going on here?
Yeah, that's a great question. And this is where, you know, that cultural context we talked about earlier becomes so important. You know, remember those strict Jewish laws about ritual purity, especially for priests?
Mm.
So touching a dead body or even someone who like might be dead would make them ritually unclean.
So it's not just about like washing your hands, right?
Yeah.
This uncleanliness had like some pretty serious consequences.
Huge consequences. You know, it would have meant that they couldn't perform their religious duties, which was like central to their lives, central to their community. So, you know, while it might seem really callous to us, they were likely operating within a very different framework, you know, of obligations and beliefs.
Okay, so their avoidance wasn't necessarily out of pure heartlessness. It was more about this really complex system of beliefs and practices that kind of dictated their actions.
Exactly. But then the real twist comes. Who do you think shows up next?
Give me a hint. It's not another priest, is it?
Nope. It's a Samaritan. And that changes everything.
Whoa, hold up. Now that's interesting. Why is that such a huge deal?
Well, you got to remember that Samaritans and Jews, they had some serious beef. You know, we're talking centuries of animosity. They had different religious practices. They were considered heretics by the Jews. So to see a Samaritan helping a Jew in need would have been utterly shocking, like even scandalous.
So not only is this Samaritan, you know, not bound by those same purity laws, but he's also stepping way outside his social and religious boundaries.
Yeah.
By even helping this guy. This is already turning everything upside down.
It is. It is. And remember, this is all happening within earshot of the lawyer who wanted that simple answer to who is my neighbor. You know, the story is about to get even more pointed.
So this Samaritan sees this guy, I mean, beaten, left for dead on the side of the road. And does he just, you know, offer a quick prayer and keep walking?
Not a chance, not even close. He goes right up to this injured man, and he's filled with compassion. He bandages up the man's wounds, and he's pouring oil and wine on them, which, you know, back then, those were pretty common healing agents. This isn't just a, you know, a quick, oh, I'm so sorry this happened to you, and then just moving on, you know?
Right. He's getting his hands dirty. Literally, this is real, tangible help.
It is. It is. And then he puts the man on his own animal. You know, he's risking his own safety, his own comfort here, and takes him to an inn to be cared for. He stays with him all night, making sure that he's okay.
Wow. I mean, this is some serious above and beyond stuff. This isn't just charity. This is genuine care. Genuine sacrifice.
It really is. And remember, this is all happening right there while the lawyer, the guy who asked, who is my neighbor, is listening to this whole story unfold for him, right? Jesus is painting a very, very vivid picture for him.
So what happens when the story ends? Does Jesus just, like, drop the mic and walk away?
Well, he turns right back to the lawyer and asks, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He's putting the lawyer right on the spot, you know? Forcing him to really confront what he's just heard.
And what does the lawyer say? I mean, does he finally get it?
Well, he can't even bring himself to actually say the word Samaritan. He's so caught up in his own prejudice that he just says the one who showed him mercy.
That's such a powerful detail. It really speaks volumes about how deep those prejudices ran back then.
Doesn't it? It's a perfect illustration of how, you know, how our own biases can blind us to the truth, even when it's staring us right in the face. Yeah. You know, the lawyer is so focused on categories and labels that he can't even acknowledge the Samaritan's actions for what they are. You know, just a radical act of love and compassion.
So what's Jesus's final response? What does he say?
He just looks at him and says, go and do likewise. Four words, but so much meaning packed in there.
Yeah. Total mic drop moment. but it makes you think, right? Like, go and do likewise. What does that actually look like for us today? Are we all supposed to just, like, start bandaging up strangers on the side of the road?
Well, it's not necessarily about the literal actions, although, you know, those are important, too. It's about that underlying principle, radical compassion, you know, the kind that goes beyond our comfort zones, beyond our social circles, beyond all those ingrained biases we have. It's about seeing the humanity in everyone, even those that we might just instinctively avoid or dismiss.
Like the lecture points out, the injured man in the parable, he's never given a name. He's just a man. That makes him pretty universal, doesn't it?
Exactly. It means he could be anyone. He could be your neighbor. He could be your coworker. You know, he could be somebody that you see struggling on the street. You know, somebody whose beliefs are totally different from yours. It's a reminder that everyone deserves compassion, no matter what their background is, no matter what their circumstances are.
Okay, so we've unpacked this parable. We've seen how it flips the script on what we think we know, how it challenges us to really rethink what it means to, you know, to be a good person. But the lecture doesn't stop there, does it? It connects this story to the story of Martha and Mary.
It does. It does. And that connection is really crucial, I think, for understanding what true discipleship, what it really looks like. You know, remember, Martha is busy serving, right? She's making sure everything is perfect for Jesus while Mary is sitting at his feet listening to his teaching.
Yeah, it's easy to identify with Martha, right? Like, we're all so busy, so focused on getting stuff done, checking things off our to-do list.
Right, but Jesus, you know, he points out that Mary has chosen what he calls the better part, right? And this isn't to say that serving isn't important, but it highlights the importance, like the foundational importance of listening to Jesus, you know, of allowing ourselves to be transformed by his words.
So it's not just about, you know, rushing around and doing good deeds just for the sake of doing them. It starts with this deeper, this internal change.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about connecting with that source of love and compassion, right? And that inner transformation, it flows outward, right? It flows outward into action.
This is really making me think about how I approach my faith, how I approach my relationships, even just like my interactions with strangers, you know? It's so easy to get caught up in just the outward appearance of being, you know, good.
Yeah.
But this deep dive, this is pushing me to examine my heart, my motives, my willingness to, you know, to step outside of my comfort zone.
That's the power of this parable, right?
Right.
And the connection to that story of Martha and Mary, they challenge us, you know, to go deeper, to move beyond just those superficial acts of kindness, to really tap into the source of true compassion.
You know, as we've been talking, something else from the lecture has been kind of swirling around in my head.
Okay.
It's that point about the lawyer's motive, you know? He wasn't really coming to Jesus with a genuine desire to learn, right? He was trying to test him, to maybe even trip him up publicly.
Right. And that's such a human tendency, isn't it?
It is.
We often approach things, even spiritual matters, with an agenda, right? Yeah. Wanting to be right, to win an argument, to kind of prove ourselves.
Yeah, totally. Totally. But the parable of the Good Samaritan, it like throws a wrench into all of that, right?
Yeah.
It forces the lawyer and us as the listeners to really confront our own shortcomings, our own prejudices. It's a story about humility, not about being right.
It really is. And it highlights how, you know, how that outward action, that going and doing likewise, it flows from a place of inner surrender.
Okay.
You know, just like Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. Yeah. It's about acknowledging that we need to be transformed before we can truly transform, you know, the world around us.
This deep dive has honestly been so eye-opening. I feel like I have a whole new understanding of what it means to be a disciple, to love my neighbor, to really live out my faith in a way that's authentic.
Me too. It's amazing how a story that's thousands of years old can still be so relevant, so challenging, you know, so powerful.
It's a timeless reminder that true compassion isn't about checking boxes or following rules. It's about a heart change. It's about a willingness to see the world through the eyes of love and to act accordingly, you know, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it challenges our deeply held beliefs.
And ultimately, the parable of the Good Samaritan, it isn't just a story.
Right.
It's a call to action, a call to be the one who stops, the one who helps, the one who shows compassion, the one who embodies that radical love that Jesus taught.
So, listener, as you go about your day, as you encounter the people around you, remember that injured man on the road to Jericho. Remember the Samaritan who chose to help. And ask yourself, who will you choose to be in this story?